Greetings once again, spiritual travelers. It's Pastor Bob. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for another day with Jesus. Wonder if you're getting to the point now as we finish up chapter 8. If you're getting to the point now of looking forward to this every day, like this might be the best thing of the day today. This little 20-minute walk with Jesus we have. Starting to feel that rhythm and yearn for this time together. We set it up with all the amenities. Today we've got Charbrew tea from England. We've got the peace tea that they make. It's got a blend of chamomile, rose hips, lemon peels, and rose petals. How's that for a tea? Very nice. It's the peace tea. And we've got the myrtle and thyme candle pushing out a scent. We've all woken up together today and we are looking around, getting our clothes together, getting our sandals on. And it's time to go walking with Jesus again. You realize the last 2 days, the last thing of the day has been Jesus healing. Well, remember 2 days ago, he cured a deaf man with his fingers and spit on the tongue, and that ended that day. And then yesterday, he cured a blind man in Bethsaida. Remember who, at first, it didn't fully take, and he was seeing trees. And then he finally got to see them as human beings. Such is the life with Jesus. Now it starts to get a little more interesting. In chapter 9, we begin to turn towards Jerusalem, as Luke would say. We go to the second half of the story. The first half of the story is dominated by Jesus' ministry, and the second half transitions into his death. But it's an incremental thing, and we just keep walking with Jesus. We don't know the rest of the story, but we're ready to go today. So let's begin. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean. Then they asked him, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He said to them, "Elijah is indeed coming first to restore all things. How then is it written about the Son of Man that he is to go through many sufferings and be treated with contempt? But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written about him." And we end today's time with Jesus with that lesson about Elijah as the day comes to an end. Let that settle on our hearts and reflect upon the day. We've got the iconic question of Jesus, "Who do people say that I am?" But who do you say that I am? We've got him teaching his disciples about what's necessary for the Son of Man in terms of his death and resurrection. And then he transfigures himself before them. And it's the first time, scholars say, that the actual Messiah makes an appearance in the world. And God speaks and says, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." And then the disciples ask him about Elijah, and he explains that Elijah has come and that now he is coming. So let's take a deep breath, clear out our mind, and just put on our sandals and say, "Lord, have the day. Take us where you will. Teach us what you want and show us what you can." And it begins like this. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist. And others, Elijah. And still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Of course, that's a pattern of the Gospel of Mark, is to keep it a secret if you can. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And that indeed is the struggle of the spiritual life right there in a scolding from Jesus. "For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And thus the things we expect for God to do, the things we expect to see Jesus do or say, the things that we expect of Jesus are all based on human things. And we really can't understand Jesus till we put our mind on divine things. Remember when Paul tells us our minds must be renewed through the power of the Holy Spirit. We must leave that constraint of the physical sensory mind behind and see the biggest things God is doing with us spiritually, like Jesus, much more than just a human being, Savior of the world. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." It's like he had a recruiting session, and the crowd was all wanting to be one of the 12 and join the 12 and follow him. And he tells them that if you want to follow me, the first thing you do is deny yourself. The second thing is be prepared to take up the cross and then come, follow me. He says, "For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. But what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So he also gives us a glimpse into the end, into the second coming. Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. "And he said to them, 'Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come with power.'" And what he's saying is, some here will be able to put their human mind behind and see things from a divine way and indeed taste the kingdom of God that is, in fact, at this moment, entering into the world. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." And suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. So it's worth noting that just a little bit before this, he rebuked Peter for having his mind on human things and not setting his mind on divine things. And again, with the transfiguration, this is a completely divine spiritual act that is happening. And the only way to understand it and not be terrified is to see what God is doing and how this is all following God's plan with Moses and Elijah and Jesus. And seeing Jesus transfigured is an opportunity for you to see the reality of who Jesus is. And yet the word tells us they were terrified, and Peter wants to build them three little cottages to keep them on the mountain, I guess. We have some work to do, disciples. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean. Then they asked him, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" And he said to them, "Elijah is indeed coming first to restore all things. How then is it written about the Son of Man that he is to go through many sufferings and be treated with contempt? But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written about him." another full day with Jesus. And before we end our little session, episode 12 today, I think Jesus wants us to gather around and share another teaching with us about living our life today in this world. Let's listen in to what he has to say. Learn to relate to others through my love rather than yours. Your human love is ever so limited, full of flaws and manipulation. My loving presence, which always enfolds you, is available to bless others as well as you. Instead of trying harder to help people through your own paltry supplies, become aware of my unlimited supply, which is accessible to you continually. Let my love envelop your outreach to other people. Many of my precious children have fallen prey to burnout. A better description of their condition might be drainout. Countless interactions with needy people have drained them without their conscious awareness. You are among these weary ones who are like wounded soldiers needing R&R. Take time to rest in the love light of my presence. I will gradually restore you to the energy that you have lost over the years. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and you will find rest for your souls. Probably just the word we needed to hear today, isn't it? Amen. Don't forget, tomorrow night at 7, we'll have our Zoom discussion group again. We're actually going to, I think, successfully achieve doing that on Wednesday. So we hope you'll consider joining us. It's less than an hour, and it's really rich with discussion about Jesus and takes your traveling stories to a whole different level in your own heart. So look for that link tomorrow and join us at 7 tomorrow night. But until tomorrow, may God watch over you and soothe your soul and give you peace and joy that surpasses all human understanding.